Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for joining Dr. Perletta Ramos and Raj Shell in Living Life Powerfully. We help you turn the ordinary into the extraordinary by claiming your power, getting your heart in the game, and learning how to live from the inside out. Let's create more happiness and success in your life.
Welcome to Living Life Powerfully. I am your co-host, Raj Shell, and I am here along with Dr. Perletta J. Ramos. And today we are going to be talking about letting go. Does it feel like you are spinning your wheels? Does that stuck feeling cause frustration and confusion? You are not alone, because many of us are just holding on. Holding on to what, you may ask? Well, our past, our beliefs, fantasies, our future, the need to be right, and the need to control. So why are we not able to simply let go? It's F-E-A-R, fear. Yes, fear. And fear causes us to attempt to control others. We control ourselves. And we try to control situations. Today, we are going to be focusing on how to break this cycle of fear, control, and, of course, the resulting stuckness where you are spinning your wheels. I'm sure you've heard it before. Well, just let go. Well, unless you understand the barriers that prevent you from letting go and the golden opportunities that you are forfeiting by giving into this pattern, well, you know, I hate to say this, but the wheels are just going to keep on spinning. Perletta?
Right. And the spinning that you're referring to, Raj, I like to think of it as being a creature of habit, that we give into our patterns and way of being because it feels comfortable. You know, when you hear someone say, "That's just how I am," even though it might be uncomfortable, that's just how I am. That's what I do. That's just my personality. That might be an indication, particularly if you're experiencing some difficulty around it, that you're in a pattern. So we're not talking about those individuals who have a healthy sense of satisfaction with themselves or what's going on, but rather those who feel stuck and they want to make a change, but they feel like they can't, or that it's really difficult. In Buddhism, they refer to the stuckness as being in attachment or having an attachment that then leads to the suffering. And the suffering is wanting something to be different and not knowing how, or having a fear around whatever the situation is and being stuck, quote unquote, in that fear. And that the suffering occurs because our behavior is actually addictive. You know, that pattern that sometimes feels really comfortable, it can be an addiction because we feel compelled to act in a certain way or to do a certain thing. And when we're in this habitual pattern, or that you call spinning, Raj, when this happens, we suffer because we don't have freedom. And we all long to be free. I've not met a person who doesn't long to have a greater sense of freedom in their lives. So that the discussion that we're engaging in is intended specifically for those who desire to move or shift something. And it's going to be up to you to determine what that something is so that you don't feel limited in your way of life, but that you can recognize the fear and desire to control and then move past it into greater freedom.
You know, you have some really good points, and I want to add that we need to really look at our life honestly, because, you know, you may be sitting here listening and going, "Well, my life is working fine." But I just want to reiterate here the importance of looking at so many different areas of your life. So your life could be working in one area and not the other. So there might be a small portion of your life that's not working. So really, really hone in on what this area is. It doesn't mean that you're never successful. You may be successful in many areas of your life. So let's just talk about fear. We have our limited experiences from the past, of course. It might be something that we have personally experienced. So that, of course, is very real for us because we've experienced it. Or it might even be just something that someone else has told us. So we just heard this through the grapevine. We may have also made assumptions and we're swimming in preconceived notions about people, places, or things. You know, it's so interesting. I can just go into a place and my mind automatically starts to judge people. And I don't even know who they are. So it's just a normal way that we operate. We just are always, you know, swimming in these preconceived notions about people, places, or things, like I said. Now, if you look back on your life, notice that you were most likely reacting in the present from a very limited picture, a very limited perspective.
And what I love about what you're speaking to, Raj, when you talk about fear being our limited experiences from the past, is this notion of what fear actually is. So I learned a term, or really it's an acronym, years ago about fear, and it is the F represents false, the E is evidence, the A is appearing, and the R is real. So we use our experiences from the past, however limited they may be, as you mentioned, to kind of project how things are going to be in the present and in the future. So when we feel fearful in the moment, we already know, in our mind at least, how it's going to happen. And so fear can only flourish when we give it power. And when we give it power by failing to question those preconceived, limited experiences or ideas about what may actually happen, because we don't really know, but when we give it power, then we have a desire internally then to control it, and it exacerbates itself. So in that moment, fear takes control, but it doesn't have to. We have a choice.
Yeah, so even falsehood has evidence, right? We think that, oh, well, this has evidence, so it must be real. But even falsehood.
It happened last time, and so it must not happen this time.
Exactly. Wow. That's powerful. I'm going to have to remember that acronym. So now, okay, let's talk a little bit about this control, because, you know, fear automatically, you know, it's just going to go into us trying to control something. So let's look at, you know, our need to control. What does it come from? It comes from a couple of things. First, we speculate, you know, what is about to happen. And then, based on this speculation, we decide the outcome. And then we progress to controlling others in order to achieve this outcome, which is, of course, determined by us, which is, of course, having to do with our past. And then we get easily attached to the outcome. And, of course, we hone in on this outcome, and right there we're forfeiting all other possibilities. And to top it off, we of course think that our conclusion is the best. This is where we stop listening, we stop being present. And I can tell you, like, I've just tried to observe myself, and I've come up with some interesting perspectives on that. I get into this control mode, and then my mind is just going to go into the past, and it goes to the future. So it just keeps going back and forth between the past and the future very rapidly. And my vision will get narrow, and I totally lose sight of the bigger picture. Even my heart races, you know, I can just feel the heart rate increasing, and my breathing becomes shallow. And what I notice about my concentration and awareness of the present moment is that it is little to none. And so now I want to speak to the outcome of being stuck. This is where we become frustrated, we're irritated, we're inadequate. We may be feeling these things, maybe you're not. You may feel insecure, you may feel defensive and even powerless, and a lot of times, you know, if we have a high tolerance for pain, we may not feel any of these things. It's just that something is just not going to feel right. And it is ironic, though, that the more we attempt to control, the less in control we feel, which takes you back to the need to control, and the cycle begins all over again. It's just vicious.
One of the things that you just mentioned, Raj, I think is wonderful for you in that you have a lot of self-awareness or understanding. You know, you track this personality. I think many people haven't done that. You know, when folks say, you know, that's just who I am, on some level it's like, I don't have any control. That, and I may not necessarily even be self-aware, or on some level it may not have risen to the point of being a problem, quote-unquote, such that I feel like I need to address it. So I'd like to, for a moment, speak to those people who don't have an awareness. And for you, too, for those listeners who don't have an awareness, they just may get fearful and want to control. Please know that. And this quote is by Parker Palmer, who is an author and educator and activist. He once said, I will always have fears, but I need not be my fears. I will always have fears, but I need not be my fears, for I have other places within myself from which to speak and act, and we all do. So having fears is normal. We all have them. Some of us deny them more than others, but at the end of the day, we all have them. And the object is not to be the absence of fears, but to acknowledge them and to recognize that you have a wealth of other emotions, attributes, traits, beliefs, and thoughts beyond those fears that you can also use to cope when fear comes up and you have the need to control. So it's so important that we all get that we are greater than our fears and our desire to be in control. And developing some awareness that you just spoke of, Raj, of yourself, developing some awareness can help you gain greater sense to what other things you have in your reservoir that you can use when fear and the desire to control come up. So when we commit to learning about ourselves and evolving who we are in our being, because it's who you're being when you're fearful, and it's who you're being when the desire for control comes up, that can create issues. We can empower ourselves to engage in life from a completely different place when we do it from our sense of wholeness and recognizing, I have other skills I can use if I tap into them. So knowing this, we're asking you, our listeners, to look at where fear binds you and keeps you from moving into the unknown aspects of who you are so that you can then expand your experience of life and move with greater confidence and grace and ease. Because at the end of the day, I know at least for me, when I'm fearful and I feel the desire to control, it's because I'm lacking true confidence and I'm lacking grace and I'm lacking ease within myself.
That's beautiful. I love that. I love the way that you've put that because it really lets me see where we're missing it and what we need to do in order to exactly get sensitive to ourselves, become aware of ourselves, and to find our way out of this very unhealthy pattern of the way of being. So, you know, I'm reminded of like birds. I mean, they have the courage to let go of a branch in order to actually fly. And if you just look at yourself, we've got to also let go of our emotional branches if we are to experience the exhilaration of soaring to our highest potential in life. The branches we hold onto are our innermost attachments. This is what we've been talking about through this show and our past shows. We hold on to our beliefs, our bad habits, those memories, and those are the things that keep us stuck. Now, there are the outer attachments too. So we're attached to people, possessions, positions, and privileges, to name but a few. Now, we must be aware that as long as we hold on to them, we will actually live in fear. We're going to have the fear of letting go. We're going to have the fear of loss, and we will never feel the freedom that we all deserve. And once you become aware of these birds and the initial courage that they display when they let go of their branch just prior to flying, you will be capable of experiencing life in a totally different way. Now, you know, just remember this. When you're not letting go of old stuff, it's the same as driving through life with a flat tire on our cars. It's like not stopping to change it, hoping that it's going to, well, fix itself one day, pretending that the ride is smooth, knowing that it isn't, until one day it gets so loud and it gets so bumpy that we are forced to stop and take a look and actually get help. You know, and once, okay, so here now, we've come to this place, okay? We know about our fear. We know about our control. So how do we get out of this vicious cycle? And this may be cliche, but I'm going to say it. It's to let go. And, you know, this is where I used to think, it's easier said than done. But in this case, I have to say that it is actually easier done than said. And I think that you might feel the same way once you understand this and apply it in your life. Now ask yourself, what am I really holding on to? And this is the reality check. And this is reality in all caps. Because more than likely, what you're holding on to is not even rooted in reality. Another way of saying let go is to surrender. And I'm sure you've heard this term. Well, surrender isn't about giving up or turning the other cheek. I think oftentimes we have a real difficult time doing it because we think that, well, you know, I'm losing or I'm just giving up. Well, it's simply accepting reality and taking appropriate action from there. Resisting what is always, always, always hurt. Accepting that this is what it is, and then evaluating your next best step from there yields totally different results. And by letting go, you free creative energy to actually formulate a next step that's likely to work.
One of the ways in which I know I do this, I hold on, and I do everything that you just mentioned, I fail to surrender, is with planning. And when I look at it from I'm really great because I love to plan and I like to execute a plan, and at the end of the day, I like looking to see how my plan manifested, right? I'm addicted to planning, so getting back to what we talked about earlier, it's a pattern. And it can be healthy, and it works. And the way that it doesn't work, as I've looked at it, is I lack spontaneity. So I have two girls, and they have told me, Mom, you're not spontaneous. Like, we plan out a vacation, and we don't really get an opportunity to have a lot of quote-unquote free time or fun. And after some dialogue with them, I really understood that I did exactly as they said. But in my mind, I was planning for spontaneity because I allocated it. And so, like, go be spontaneous between 5 and 7 p.m. on Thursday, you know.
Oh, that's good.
And to me, that's spontaneity, you know, and that, but that speaks to being rigid, right? And the fear that I have, and many people may have, if you relate to this, is I wanted to make sure everything would go well, right? I really wanted them to be happy. And so if I planned it and I planned this and their opportunities to engage in this or that activity, then I felt a sense of control that they would have a good time. The outcome would be great. Mm. And what I didn't really account for was they wanted to have fun in the moment. And if they didn't feel like going to breakfast from 8 to 10 so that we could go on the charter tour from 10 to 4, you know, that for them it was a sense of rigidity that left them feeling like they enjoyed the vacation, but it left them wanting more space to be free. So this idea of letting go can apply to, you know, huge things, but also very simple things. Like planning for a vacation, and how can I incorporate more space and letting go of my desire to control Now, for some people, the idea of letting go can be really overwhelming. And I, you know, and we've talked about it on the lighter side, but really, for some, letting go is hard, right?
And yes, it is. It's very hard, Perletta.
Absolutely. And people may be asking, like, where do you start? You know, how can you actually do that? And here's where you start. And we've alluded to it previously. You start with recognizing that you have the capacity to make a shift. There's a universal principle called mentalism, and it means, in essence, and I'm simplifying it very much so, but that everything that exists in the universe is mental. And that's, for me, a very powerful concept, because if everything is mental, if I'm creating this idea that I need to plan to be in control, because at the end of the day, I can make sure that everyone's going to have a great time, if that's my MO, then I have an ability to shift my thinking about how I'm going to approach vacation. And when I take responsibility for that, right, then I can shift the way I think about it and then ultimately shift the outcome. So this idea that you can change your circumstances by changing your thinking about your circumstances is incredibly powerful, because it helps first to give you a place to start. So recognizing that you have this tendency is the first step. And then taking responsibility for it might just mean, for me, using my example, next time I go on vacation, and I actually do this since my daughter has explained to me that I'm not spontaneous and it helps to contribute to ruining some of their fun, we have open days where absolutely nothing is planned. Now, that's a very simple thing, but for me it wasn't so simple because I was acting from a fear-based consciousness. But as I've opened that up little by little, breath by breath, for myself and developing awareness that you talked about earlier, I began to notice ways that I could let go of the fear-based ideas that I carry and open myself up to something else. And that's what everyone can do. It's not unique to me or the example that I gave. So in every instant, moment by moment, we all have the opportunity to look for ways of trusting and letting go. Because at the end of the day, the conversation we're in of why it can be so or feel so overwhelming is because we're not trusting. We're not trusting that if we let go, that everything is going to be okay. And it's that simple.
You know, what I love is everything that exists in the universe is mental. You know, I've never heard that before. I've never heard it put like that. And it's so true. Because just at, you know, I mean, we can change. We can change how we're feeling. We can change what we're doing. That is what free choice, I guess, is all about, right? We can change ourselves at any time. We can choose something different at any time. So surrender the best you can and then allow things to unfold as they will. Do your part and then release control over the details, like the how and the when and the why. You want a resolution, or you want some peace, or whatever you want. But you're not wrapped up in the how and what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You're just surrendering. You're looking at the reality, and you're just surrendering to what is. Somebody said this, and I don't know who said it, but right now I'm saying it. One of the hardest things that we will do is letting go of something we thought was real. And this gets back to your thing, Perletta, about false evidence appearing real for fear acronym, right? Yeah,
absolutely. And let me just say this too, Raj. Let me say that sometimes we make things more difficult. So if we're really entrenched in a pattern and the idea of what we're speaking of feels overwhelming and it feels hard, so, again, the first place to start is recognizing that you're in a perspective that this is hard, and the first thing you might need to do is to let go of the idea that it's hard, but that it's a choice. That might be helpful. And if it feels overwhelming such that you don't think you can, then I think we need to have a show, Raj, on, you know, being addicted to patterns. Because sometimes we're so addicted because we gain something from it, right? When I plan, I gain a sense of security in my mind. It may not be true, but I've gained a sense of security that I've got to let go of to open up to not creating a scheduled itinerary for everybody. And I may not really want to let that go, even though I may want to offer more to my children by way of spontaneity. So see, there's that inner dialogue about what's the most important thing, and if letting go is hard, and sometimes you feel like you can't release control, then there's a deeper inquiry as to what you're really fighting against yourself for.
Well, you know, when we stop resisting reality, Perletta, when we stop resisting what is never ours to change, people, places, situations, or things, most of our anxiety and need to control is diminished. You know, I once went to hear Dr. Wayne Dyer speak, and he started singing the song. You know, he was singing like this, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream.
I know that.
Merrily, life is but a dream. You know, and he sang it that slowly. And I just imagined myself and what I was doing. Like, I'd fight the current and I row upstream, barely making any significant movement. That's how, you know, or in other words, I'm just feeling stuck. But what if I just row, row, row my boat gently down the stream? What will I have to do that? If I just notice which way the current is going, I just simply turn my boat around. Now I can just float and save my energy. I get to actually enjoy my journey. And it is in this surrender mode that I'm the most peaceful. And I've noticed that I am in present moment awareness at this time and that I can see the bigger picture.
I love that. And here's why. I have a practical application of what you're talking about in terms of enjoying the experience. I recently returned from a trip where I did some rock climbing. And as I made my way up the side of the rock with hundreds of other people, I was reminded of how powerful perception is. And when you're in the midst of doing something that might conjure up fear, how what you just said, remaining concentrated on my own experience and joy in it, made a tremendous difference. So going up the side of the rock, I could hear children crying and being encouraged by their parents. Parents were like, don't look down. You're going to be okay. You'll be fine. Just keep looking ahead. We're going to make it to the top. And there were other adults who didn't have their parents there who could be seen, not necessarily crying out like some of the kids, but who were walking so consciously, you know, with trepidation and kind of inching their way forward, going up and inching their way down. So some people coming down is actually more fearful than going up. And as we were going, you know, the 1,200 steps it took to get to the top, I recognized I don't have fear of heights. I got over that probably about 15 years ago. I used to have it, but I did something to help me transition from being fearful. And in the moment, as I was doing this, I was, you know, bounding my little way up the mountain, feeling confident, you know, taking steps with ease, sometimes two steps at a time. I was like, yes. I was really aware that the only difference between me and the children that were crying or the parents or the other adults that were feeling trepidation or fear is that I had a different perspective. Perspective was, I'm not afraid of heights. So, you know, walking up the side of the rock was like walking on the trail path. And that was the only difference. And so climbing the lion's rock is what it's called, can be used as a metaphor for how you kick any fear. Am I looking at it from the place of I'm really afraid? And what will take me from that, from being afraid and climbing the rock and then, or being not being afraid, right? So here's what I suggest to everyone who has a fear of something. You need to do the very thing you're afraid of. That's how I kick my fear of heights. I went skydiving with the clear intention of stepping out of the plane, letting go of my fear. And I'm not saying everyone should do that, obviously, and everyone shouldn't do it. It's not for everybody. It was powerful for me because of the intention that I set around it, that if I can step off into that, and it represents stepping off into nothing, and I would be okay, and I trusted that I would make it to the end, which is the ground, and I did. That
so we okay, so we're coming to our end, Perletta. So what I'd like to leave you with is a thought. Surrender to what is. Let go of what was and have faith in what will be. I believe it's Sonia Riccati that said this. Thank you for joining us on Living Life Powerfully. Next week is dedicated to helping you to discover your purpose. It's a two-part series. We're going to be doing part one, Why Are You Here? Between
Yay!
Now and then, if you'd like to reach us, please feel free to email us at PerlettaRajRadio@gmail.com. I'm just having some technical difficulties here. If you would like to get the most recent updates of our show, make sure to check us out on Facebook page called Living Life Powerfully. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next week.
So long.
Care.